Good morning, everyone. There's this wonderful direction here that God has placed with inside my heart. I do want to read what I read this morning in intercessory prayer. And I'm going to preface something here a little bit before I begin. At times when I teach the Word of God, sometimes it may sound disjointed, or there's a lot of things that are said, and there's a lot of different areas we dip into, instead of like an introduction and a three-point a scripture and a three-point bullet message and a conclusion, which a lot of people preach. And there are some times that I do that, but there are other times where I have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because there may be just one passage or two that's for maybe one or two people, and it's like the Holy Spirit goes, okay, they got what they need. You need to jump over to this. You need to jump over to that. So there's like a lot of mini messages within the message, but it has an overall theme. And I have to be sensitive to the Lord in that overall theme. And today, I did give a title back there, and I just put it as Breakthrough Praise, and it's going to come from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that through this person, Lord, who started out strong, very, Lord God, blessed, and then started making some wrong choices and decisions, and even allied himself to a king who was doing evil in your sight, and married one of his daughters, and went into battle and almost lost his life until he had to get refocused on you. But he came to a place, Lord God, he came to a place of faith. He came to a place of understanding. He came, Lord God, through a prophetic word that was ministered to him. And he got an understanding where fear had was dissipated, Lord. And it was replaced with a strong, staunch trust and reliance and dependence upon you, Lord. And at times, Lord God, we do start out strong. And we grow in you, Lord God. And we are blessed of you. Even it says that he even had a heart like David. He had a heart after you, Lord. And we do have that heart, Lord God, that's after you. We are people after your own heart, and we are people that are pursuant more after your own heart. But sometimes things try to get in there and crowd that out, Lord God. We get things that try to infiltrate us, Lord. That try to get our devotion, Lord God, or our seeking just a little bit shorter than what it should be, Lord. A second place devotion instead of a first place devotion. And we do need to have those people that are brought into our lives, Lord God, that will speak a fresh word to us, Lord, to get us to see what we need to see and get our faith reestablished once again where it needs to be on you, the one who fights the battle for us, the one who has secured the already victory that we have in Jesus Christ, the one, Lord God, that place that you want to get us to with a breakthrough praise or a rejoicing, Lord God. A spirit of faith that says, I believe and therefore I speak. So that we could be a unified people that says, we believe and therefore we speak. To have that so alive within us, Lord, that no matter the circumstance or situation that our life faces, there's something greater of you within inside of us that will rise to the surface, Lord God, and conquer any inroad of the devil, any feeling or emotion. And so we look to you this day, Lord. We look to you from a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. And we look to you today, Lord God, and we hear his words today, the words of faith and a simple worship. Two sentences. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah, for his grace endures upon all of our lives forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God who has shed his grace upon us. Hallelujah that you cause us to triumph victoriously. So, Lord God, I just ask for a spirit of faith right now that's already been deposited. Your allotment's already been deposited into my brothers and sisters' lives. I ask that somehow in a measure this morning, that you will cause it to be increased. Come to the surface. Let us ride, as it says, that I bore you in Exodus chapter, I believe it's chapter 20, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Salvation is all the work of God, and all we can do is ride on what He has done, ride on the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Take wing on the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Quench or grieve not the Holy Spirit, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, we just welcome Holy Spirit even right now in Jesus' name. Amen. I will read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from the place where Jehoshaphat, the revelation came and his life was gone to a place of fear. As it says in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. And because of fear, the enemy coming, he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. So the seeking of the Lord and the fasting wasn't from a place of faith, but it was from a place of fear. But it was from that place that gave a prophet the ability to speak and to be able to speak into the people of God because they had set themselves to seek the Lord, even though that it was from a place of fear. And sometimes you can even have to go from a place of fear, from a place of unknowing, from a place of uncertainty in your walk with God, because you know the Word of God. It says, you know what, I don't like the place that I'm in here right now. I don't like this present place. And most people know the acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real. In other words, it's an evidence. It's something of the senses. Something has come into your life or to your life, and it's trying to overcrowd your life. But then you know something deep within inside your spirit. It talks about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled, and those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, to pursue righteousness. And there's a pursuit that you have within your life, even from a place of fear. Because even though that it's false evidence appearing real, when God begins speaking to your heart, it becomes a Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. See, we need that false evidence replaced with God's evidence, with God's word, with God's truth that will become superior through the fear that is trying to encroach and land upon our life, because it says that there was a group of people called Ammon, Moab and Ammon and Syria, surrounding them and trying to come in and do battle against them. And most of us know, if you've done any scripture study at all, you know, you understand who Moab and Ammon, or the Ammonites, are. They're the descendants of Lot. And most of us know from the Word of God, it tells us in 2 Peter that Lot was righteous Lot, but it says that his righteous soul was vexed because of the ungodly conduct of Sodom and Gomorrah. So even though that he was living there, that he was considered a righteous man, but because of the influence of Sodom and Gomorrah always upon his life, there were things that were trying to get in there and just crowd out all that God wanted to do. But as we know, that when they were set free, Lot, his wife, and two daughters were set free from Sodom and Gomorrah before God brought a destruction. And they were told not to look back. And we're told in Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 17, somewhere thereabouts, it says, remember Lot's wife. That even though that they knew that they were being delivered, they knew that the angels of the Lord came, or a word of God came to set them free from the judgment of God that was getting ready to come. And though that people can heed a warning, but if you don't allow that warning to get inside your heart, and there's still some of Sodom with inside of a person, the Word of God talks about a person who puts his hands to the plow, they're not to look back. We're to keep our heart true and our focus sincere upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about Lot's wife looking back. And it says that she became a pillar of salt. And most of us know, you know, salt represents that which purifies and that which cleanses, and that which brings healing within a person's life, and that which seasons the life and brings God's goodness within a life. And the Word of God says that salt is good. Even though some of you don't like to put a lot of salt on things, the Word of God does say salt is good. And so it's representative of, she did not take the salt. She did not allow herself to be salted, as that word having a superior place within inside of her heart, with a superior place within inside of her life. She had something that was dominant within inside of her. The culture of Sodom and the ways of Sodom had so infiltrated her heart that some commentaries even say that there was a longing of, oh my gosh, I got to go to a mountain place. I got to go to a deserted place. I got to go to a place where this abundance that I once enjoyed, this luxury that I once enjoyed, is not going to be there anymore. How I long. Remember Lot's wife. that the things of this world are going to fade. The things of this world that try to draw our attention and try to get us away from the Word of God and the things of God. We have to make sure that we don't have things within sight of us that start taking a precedent place within our feelings and in our emotions. That, yes, I know I should love the Lord Jesus and I should love the Lord God with all my heart, but can this really be that bad? Is it really that bad to have a little mixture in my life? The Word of God tells us, I believe it's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about a little leaven, just a little bit of leaven, what's going to do what to the loaf? A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. A little bit of sin will get it throughout the whole thing. And if any of you have ever made bread, you take that big dough of bread, but the mixture of leaven, that little bit, it's just a little tiny packet, less than what, half an ounce of leaven with a couple pounds of dough. And it just says that little leaven will permeate the entire loaf and cause it to be something than what it is. And we have to realize that's what the enemy's plan is, just to get a little bit inside there. But we also have a realization that these two women, they weren't married because that their betrothed ones did not travel with them. Lot warned them that, you know, judgment is going to come, and they thought that he was just saying a fairy tale. There's no judgment coming. You're basically beside yourself. And these two daughters of Lot took it upon themselves that we have no seed to carry on the lineage. We have nothing to carry on. Remember I said that the Word of God calls Lot righteous, but it didn't say that his children were righteous. We know that his wife wasn't righteous. And so the older one gets Lot drunk, and she lays with her father, and she ends up getting pregnant. And that's where the Moabites come from. And the younger daughter does the same thing the next night, and that's where the Ammonites come from, or the seed of mixture, the seed of mixture. Because Sodom had been placed with inside their heart, and you cannot take the things of this world and mix them with righteousness, because the things of this world, the moment it gets righteous, it touches righteousness, it becomes defiled. It becomes defiled, and so the seed was defiled. One of them means the seed of their father, the seed of their father. And we all know that even the children of Israel, when Jesus Christ came in John chapter 8, when the word of the Lord came and Jesus was speaking, and he told them to those Jews who believed on him, he told them that you have to continue in my word. And if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And that truth will bring you to a place of liberty and freedom. And they took it as, we're not in bondage to any man. They didn't like those words that Jesus spoke, because Jesus was equating his words equivalent to that of God's word, equivalent to that which a revelation that Moses received from God. And they did not like what he was saying. And so they began rejecting his words from that place. And he says, because my word has no place in you, in John 8:44, he says, this is where your true heart is. You're of your father, the devil. You're of your father, the devil. Because they refused to take Jesus' words as the very word of God himself. Because he said, if you were like Abraham, you would have received the words like I am spoken, like Abraham received them. But you reject my words. And therefore, there was a different spirit working within them. And God has a word that he's trying to speak to people. And he has something that he's wanting to say. And we've had God's word planted with inside of our heart. But there's a mixture. There's an Ammonite and a Moabite mixture. And Syria, when you look at Syria, it talks about an exalted place. It talks about a place of self-exaltation, or that which is lifted up above the rest. Or it refers to that which is pride. And that's what a mixture seed will do when the Word of God is compromised, when the Word of God is watered down, or when people try to make it say what they want it to say. It will cause an exaltation of self. It will cause more of a boasting of oneself than a boasting of God. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, that God has made unto us through Jesus Christ wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That everything that we have has come from God. If you have any wisdom, it has come from God. If you know anything about God at all, it's come from him. If you know that you're right from God, it came through Jesus and his blood. If you know that you've been separated from something that once used to control your life and it no longer controls your life, and you've been sanctified and set apart unto God, and you're living a wonderful, beautiful life in this area now that once held you in bondage, that sanctification, it's because of Jesus Christ. That's why it says in verse 31, I think it says, let him who glories glory in the Lord. It says, if any of us are going to boast about anything, we want to boast in what Jesus Christ has done. You see any change in your life and any change in my life, it's all because of Jesus. The only credit I can do is by reading the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's got to teach me everything. He's got to reveal everything. He's got to make it known to me. Revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, it all got to come from Him. I just have to be diligent to stay in the Word and let God do what He said He's going to do. And so I want to read this verse here before we go any further so that you just have a hearing what King Jehoshaphat says, finally from a place of faith. And in verse 20 it says, "And they rose early in the morning," 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, "and went out to the wilderness," or the plain, okay, or the pasture of Tekoa. And that word Tekoa talks about a place of a trumpet sound, the place where something is going to sound forth. So they went to this wilderness, or this place, this pasture, this area of ground in which a sound was going to burst forth, a sound was going to come forth. And it says, "And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah.'" And as most of you know, that Judah represents that which is of praise. And if I could just give you some real quick history here. The children of Israel are divided into two camps, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom had 10 tribes because they did not like how Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was taxing the people, and they made a separation from Jerusalem, or they made a separation and said, "We're going to go establish ourselves in the north," or Samaria becoming their capital. And they even made a new altar. They even raised up a calf, that we're going to do all this stuff ourselves, and there'll be no need for the people to go to Jerusalem. And so the only tribes that were left in Jerusalem were Judah and Benjamin. So when you're reading the Word of God, when it talks about a king of Israel, it's usually talking about the northern kingdom. And it's talking about a king of Judah, it's talking about a southern kingdom, or Judah and Benjamin. And so we had King Jehoshaphat was king of the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. So a lot of times Benjamin is never even used. It's just called Judah now. And so they were to be representative of praise in the city of God. And it says, "Hear, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe. Put your faith, put your trust, put your dependence and your reliance. Cause yourself to be firm and strong in the Lord your God. And you shall be established." You'll find yourself in a fixed place, in an immovable place, in a place that God wants you to be, in a place of a stand, and not move from that stand and be grounded. It says, "Believe his prophets," or that prophetic word, or the word that comes from God, or the revealed word of God. I believe Peter says that we have a, let me see if I can just read it to you. He speaks about a prophetic word made more certain. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We also have a prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed, as the light shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises within your hearts." Speaking about the Word of God, God wants to make sure that His Word is so revealed to you that if there's anything that you don't understand, or you're in a place of darkness, you're just not getting it, He wants you to be able to stay with the truth to a place that all of a sudden it's just like the break of the sun coming up on the horizon in the morning, and there's a truth or revelation that begins coming to you. It's one thing to be able to quote a word of God. It's one thing to be able to find something here in Scripture, but it's another thing when it becomes personal revelation of light to you. And people, we need it to have revelation and light that dawns in us, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter till the revelation so hits you, you'll never let it go. And so he's saying here that there's a word that comes forth from the prophets. There's a word that comes forth from God. And it says, and when it's heard and accepted as yours personally, and it says, and you shall prosper. And this word prosper here, as in other places in the Word of God, it doesn't mean success here. It just doesn't mean that everything's going to go well. A lot of times the word prosper is also translated the word shalom, but it's not the word shalom here. It says that there's going to be a breaking forth. It talks about the ability to push forward. In other words, if there's a resistance there, the resistance has to break out of the way. If there's something stopping you, it's got to give in. It's got to lay down. It's got to burst forth. In other words, it cannot impede anymore. You will advance. It talks about to break out mightily, to break out mightily. Many times in Scripture, When we read in the New Testament, like in Philippians chapter 4, when it talks about people that are stressed or people that are worried or anxious, it says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, supplication, and giving of thanks. And giving of thanks. You see, that's faith. A lot of people are praying. A lot of people have supplications. But faith hasn't risen with inside the heart. See, that's just not a formula. It's a state of being. When you read a passage like that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, you stay with the prayer, you stay with the supplication, you stay with the Word of God until faith arises with inside your heart. See, a lot of times I've heard it preached like this or taught like this. Well, we know, I know this area is bringing stress with inside my life. And the Word of God says that I'm not supposed to be stressed out about anything, but I need to find out what the Word of God has to say concerning this subject, or maybe it's an area of provision, maybe it's an area of health and healing, whatever it is that you're finding out about, that you bring it before God, a petition. This is what your word says. And a place of prayer. I'm dialoguing with you about it. I stay with it. I stay with it, not just at the end. Oh, I'm just going to give thanks now. No, thanks should be part of your heart, part of your life. Something should have already been developed within you. Pastor Bill wrote a book many years ago. It's called Prepared to Pray. Make all the preparation that you need ahead of time. Do your research. Get in the Word of God. Find out what the promises are. Begin to saturate yourself with them. Let them fill your life so that when you open up your mouth to release forth the petition, to release forth that prayer to God, it's almost like the thanksgiving is already there. Because it has been so solidified and so built within you already, you're just releasing it. Instead of just, well, I'm just going to go ahead and give God thanks and then hopefully it comes to pass. No, it says afterwards, it says the peace of God's going to come and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And how many times do people really have the peace afterwards? I'm thanking you, Lord. I'm thanking you that you heard me, Lord. I thank you. They sound like robots. But when it's faith, when faith is alive, I know that you heard me, Lord God. Oh, thank you. There's a peace that just descends upon you. There's a life of God that is present right there. And you know that that petition is going to be answered. Because you did your due diligence ahead of time. You studied to show yourself approved unto God. You continued in the Word as Jesus Christ said. You found out what the Word of God had to say. And you began to offer it up to Him already from a heart of faith. From a heart of faith and a heart of belief. You see, they started out in fear, but a word of God came forth to shift it from fear to faith, to get their eyes focused on Him. And it says right here that if they would do this, it has happened in my heart, the king said. Now it can happen in your heart and in your life. And I tell you, let me just say this. The word of God calls us kings and priests unto our God. Jehoshaphat, to me, is a type of believer in this given area. It's a type of believer. As we know, king means one who's to reign or one who's to govern. And Jehoshaphat speaks about God as judge. God is the judge. So when you take your time and you break it down, the Word of God calls us kings, or we've given the ability, or we're to stand in a place of rulership, the Word of God says, and I believe it's Romans chapter 5, verse 17, where it talks about we're to rule in life through one Jesus Christ. We've been given the gift of righteousness, and He wants us to rule in life through one Jesus Christ. And so we have the ability that we're supposed to be as a king priest before the Lord. But Jehoshaphat, that God is judge, it talks about, when you look up that word, you break it down, it talks about the God who knows everything. He knows the right government. He knows the right counsel. He knows the right decision and the right choices that need to be made so we can discern and make a righteous judgment. Okay? So God wants to bring forth a proper judgment, a proper decision. How many of you at times are in a place, I don't know what to do? Well, then you need to take the place of Jehoshaphat. Wait a second, I've got a relationship with God. I've been given the gift of righteousness. I've got a seat in heavenly places. I have an access to the throne of God. I have an access to the Word of God. I've been given the Spirit of God who teaches me all things and makes God's Word known to me. Therefore, I also have the mind of Christ and the ability to learn and get the things that God wants me to have so I can look at this subject, or I can look at what I'm going through in life. So there's a decision that I need to make, and I can hear from God. And He can show me the proper discernment, what is of Him, what is not of Him. I can compare this choice that I need to make of what the Word of God has to say. And I can learn to decide where God wants me to decide and where He wants me to make a choice right now. And then follow what I believe at this moment to be the will of God and make a decision so that at this moment, as far as I know and far as I believe, that my judgment is a righteous decision. It has come from God. See, we can all come to that place. But at times, we don't even give that a consideration, do we? We don't give that type of consideration to the Lord. It even talks about in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, it talks about that Jehoshaphat had a heart after like David did, like his father David, that he was devoted to God like David was devoted to God, and that he was growing in the things of the Lord, and he established teachers and he established priests to instruct the people so they would have an understanding of God's word, and the kingdom began to thrive and just do wonderfully. The kingdom was just growing so big that it talks about all these gifts from these other countries were bringing in. They're just blessing Jehoshaphat and blessing the children of Israel. And all of a sudden, when you have all these things, are we not reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 8 what God said? What happens when you come into the land and all these blessings start coming upon you? He says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. When all the blessings come, and there was a forgetting that started happening with Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel because of the magnitude of the word of God that they were learning and the word of God that was just getting in there. And then all of a sudden, it even, you know, remember that first church, the Ephesian church, they had all this stuff. Or even the Laodicean church where they said, we've got all this stuff. We've got the word of God. We've got all these things. We are in need of nothing. And Jesus had to remind them, no, you're poor, blind, wretched, and naked. You think you're clothed with everything, you don't have anything. They were so filled, and yet they came up short. And so what began happening? He made an alliance with King Ahab of the northern kingdom, and he married one of his daughters. King Ahab even talked him into going into war with him, even to fight a battle with him. King Ahab even talked Jehoshaphat into wearing kingly garments in that war. And he says, well, you know, they're out to kill me. They're not out to kill you. They're out to kill me, King Ahab. So you wear the royal garments there, and I'll just dress up like a regular soldier. And so when Syria came in, they saw this guy in royal garments. Let's go after him! And then all of a sudden, when King Jehoshaphat saw that the army of Syria was coming after him, he cried out to God. And God heard him. And they realized, wait a second, that guy's dressed like a king, but it's not King Ahab. And they turned away from Jehoshaphat, saw Ahab, and he ended up dying. Jehoshaphat was almost killed. God was spared. I mean, God spared Jehoshaphat. Spared him. And a prophet comes to him afterwards and was asking him basically this question. Let me see if I can find the question here that he asked Jehoshaphat, because see, at times when we grow so much in the Word of God that the enemy tries to seek spiritual alliances with us, tries to get us into a place of compromise, tries to get us to a place where we're not as strong in the Word as we once were, but try to make it sound like it's okay though. And so Jehoshaphat thought it was okay to do this. Well, I mean, they're God's people, they're Jews. And, you know, another type of thinking came in there, but the Word of God tells us in the book of Kings that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord. He raised up, he brought in prophets of Baal through what's his wife's name? Jezebel. And built up altars to Baal. And he did not worship at the altar of God, and he erected all these other things there. And Jehoshaphat knew better, but he's a Jew. He's one of my people. It can't be that bad. Well, I'll just go ahead and marry one of his daughters, and maybe things will start getting straightened out. It didn't happen there. It really drew his heart away. It drew him away. And so the prophet has to confront him in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, has to confront Jehoshaphat. And Hananiah the seer in verse 2 went out to meet him and said, King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. That's a pretty heavy thing to say. Now remember, when he's talking about the wicked, he's talking about the northern kingdom. He's talking about Ahab. He's talking about Jewish people that were worshiping at a wrong altar and offering false blood to another god and not Jehovah. Even though that they were Jewish people, the 10 tribes of Israel, God considered them wicked because they were not worshiping at the proper altar and giving proper sacrifices to God himself, and considered them wicked, considered them lost at that time because the king, the leader, had such influence over the people. And we always have to realize that that's why the Word of God says to pray for those in authority over you. The Word of God asks you to pray not just for our government, but for leaders of in churches. That we need your prayers, I need your prayers, to make sure that the Word of God is going to continue to go the way that it needs to go. For me, my wife, for Elnora, for Larry, for all of us that are elders and deacons here in this, for those that are working in nursery or teaching our youth, that they also have hearts that are after God. Because there's a spirit that carries with our life. There's a spirit of God upon us. Do we want a mixture, or do we want the full Spirit of God upon our lives? I want the full, unadulterated Spirit of God upon my life, not any mixture of any kind. But because, now this is a neat part here, what's being said here. The seer is speaking the Word of God, and he's speaking this Word of God to Jehoshaphat, that he had sided with the wicked one. Basically, you made a choice against God. And at times, we are going to make choices the wrong way. At times, our soul's going to get in there, and emotions and our passions are going to get in there, and we're going to say and do things that we shouldn't say and we shouldn't do. Oh, I'm glad the prophet didn't end there. Because I tell you, I've said things that I shouldn't have said and done things that I shouldn't have done. But I tell you, in my spirit, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes things go on in our life. We get things introduced into our life, and we say unkind things out of our mouth, or we make wrong choices. But if you have a heart that's been truly born of God and you're sensitive at all and you're still hunger and thirst, God is going to cultivate that within you and set you free from the other. Because look what it goes on here to say. Nevertheless, just because it says the wrath of God is upon you. You know, the Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that because of Jesus Christ, we've been delivered from the wrath to come. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That Jesus Christ took all the wrath of God upon himself. But it does tell us in Hebrews chapter 12, because we are children of the Lord, that God does love us, and he will allow chastening to come within our lives because the Lord loves us. He says it will bring forth, if we allow the Word of God to do its work within inside of our heart, it will bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, indicating to us, just when you know that, just that verse itself, to bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, indicating to us there's a different fruit that's going on in a person's life. There's some unrighteousness going on in there. There's some wrong choices that have been made there. And God has said, because I love you so much, just as earthly fathers and as earthly parents bring discipline into their children's life because they love their children and they're going to bring forth discipline in their lives, so I, as a heavenly father, is going to bring discipline in my children's life when they are starting to show any type of unrighteousness, any wrong choices. I'm going to allow a discipline to come in their lives to get that corrected within their life, so they can once again bear the fruit of the righteousness that I've instilled within their spirit. Amen? Now look what it goes on here to say. It says, nevertheless, good things are found in you. Oh, let those words ring out. Let those words ring out right now. How many of you have made some wrong choices? How many of you have been in the flesh this past week? Maybe the past month. I don't know. How many of you have lost your temper? Your mind went down a road it shouldn't have went down. But God's like, you know what? That really deserves the wrath. That really deserves to be judged. Oh, wait a second. My son took all judgment upon himself. I've laid the iniquity of you and this world and all your wrong choices and all your wrong decisions, things that you've done and people have done against you. I've laid them upon my son. And I know that you've been born. I know that you're my child. So he sees. He sees that new creation. He sees that part of you that is born of him. If we begin to foster that, and I get a truth with inside their hearing that will purge their conscience by my blood from dead works so they can come back and serve me, so that their minds will be renewed
by the washing of the water of the word. God is able, how isn't it? If he's able to do this in the Old Testament, don't you think that he wants to set you free? Jehoshaphat deserved the wrath of God. At times, I deserve the wrath of God. But God, in his infinite mercy and his infinite grace, the grace, as it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Oh, hallelujah. Nevertheless, good things are found in you. And so one of those good things, it says, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared, you have prepared your heart to seek the Lord. See, there's still something. I believe that's why all of you are here today. There's something deep inside every one of us that we want God and nothing more than God. Even though that all this other junk may be going on in our life, all some of these wrong choices and decisions that we make, some of the things that we don't understand, some of the friendships that we have. You know what, Lord, you've been dealing with me about this friendship that I have with this person, and I'm getting an understanding from what your word says in James chapter 4. To be friends with the world is to put myself at an enemy against you, Lord God. I want to witness to them, but I'm finding myself more like them than I am witnessing to them. See, God will bring a conviction inside of our hearts. He'll bring a conviction to us. And he'll give us a choice. Remember, Jehoshaphat brings us to a place of making a choice, a decision, a judgment. So God wants to bring us to a place of discernment. But if the heart is seeking after him, it will be brought to that place of proper discernment. It will be brought to that place of proper judgment. It will be brought to a place where we can discern the right from wrong, the good and the evil, the life and the death, the blessing and the cursings, and to choose life and to choose blessing. And to choose the promises of God that he wants us to choose. And to choose God's way over what our flesh or our feelings might have. And because the Word of God is so clear on this subject, and we want to side with the Word of God, we want to side with Jesus Christ. And I was so encouraged here today, and take this as an encouragement to you, because God knows the good things that he's placed with inside you in Jesus Christ. Just know that. And it was because of that that God spared his wrath, his hand of wrath upon Jehoshaphat. And so right away he starts setting up judges and starts teaching the people again and says, okay, you need to deal with it according to the Word of God. Don't deal with it according to the sight of your eyes, but deal with it according to what the Word of God has to say. And so he sets up these judges once again to teach the people and to instruct the people in chapter 19. And then how many of you know that if you get your life right with God and you start moving in God's direction to seek the Lord, the enemy is going to try to come in some way or another to see just how strong that commitment is. Moab and Ammon and Syria are going to mount up around just to see where you're at. But it's okay. If fear does come with inside, but guess what? Fear came up, but he sought the Lord. And at times we get moved by reports. At times we get moved by what we see. But look where that movement caused him to go. It caused him to seek the Lord. It caused him to pray and fast. And as they did that, even though that it was from a place of fear, even though that he called that fast throughout the land for everybody to begin seeking the Lord, because he knew that an answer would come. He didn't like. How many of you have ever gotten a report and it kind of shook you when you heard it? Oh, what's going on here? You know, whether it be a health report, whether it be a job, you know, we're downsizing and, oh, my name's on the list here. Oh, what's going to happen? Somehow, however fear tries to get in there, what the enemy tries to do is bring in a mixed word, a mixed signal, trying to get you off your stand of faith. And so I was so encouraged that even though that fear had gripped his heart, the fear led him to seek God. The fear led him to pray and fast. The fear led him to look to God so that the right word could come from God. So the right word would be able to say this. Let's go ahead and just listen to when the Spirit of the Lord in verse 14 comes upon Jehaziel, one who sees, God sees, the son of Zechariah, God remembers, the son of Benaniah, that God knows how to build, the son of Jehiel, God that's able to snatch or catch us away, to save us from out of our destructions, and Mananiah, he also has gifts. For us, the gifts of God. See, when you take your time and begin looking up some of these words and you start putting it all together, that God sees you, that God remembers, that God knows how to build things within your life. If you're in a place of fear, he knows how to build faith back into you. He knows how to deliver you from that situation that you find yourself in so that you can once again come in that place and begin experiencing the giftings that he has for your life. And so that's why at times it's important that you take your time and look up words and find out what they're talking about, why he just didn't say the prophet's name and why he had to go in and talk about the background of this prophet, because in the definition of those names is the encouragement of God. Because at times we need to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember what God has done within our life. Remember his blessings. Remember that God is the one who just doesn't know. But God sees you. Do you believe that God sees you today? Do you believe that when I say sees, he cares? He cares. And because he cares, he wants you to remember. And because he wants you to remember, he wants you to realize that he's going to build something in you. And he also has the power to change that situation, to snatch you out of that situation, so that once again you can come back into his favor and experience the gifts that he has for your life. See, that's why it's important to go over these things and take your time and open up the concordance and find out the root meanings of what these words mean, because it tells a whole story here of where God wants to bring them back to knowing that the giftings of God are without repentance and that we have received the gift of eternal life and the gift of righteousness and the gift of the Holy Spirit and many other things that God has gifted our life with. But at times when the enemy tries to come in, tries to make himself look bigger than the giftings of God and the presence of God within our life. And he, through this prophet, through this seer, the one who's able to see what God once said, he says, listen, listen, all you Judah, verse 15, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to you, King Jehoshaphat. So he's talking about everybody there. Thus says the Lord to you. See, he spoke individually to each grouping. He spoke individually to the king, so it would be a personal word from God himself to the people. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Do we believe here today? Do you believe here today that the work has been finished in Jesus Christ? And that finished work, he wants to make it a reality within your life? See, there's the legal side of our document. There's a legal side of our redemption. There's a legal side of our new covenant in Jesus Christ. It's done in Jesus. But the vital side of it is for you to learn what that is and to begin living it out, for you to begin appropriating it to yourself. It's one thing to know that we're complete in him. It's one thing to know that I've been given all the blessings that heaven could possibly provide, and they've been installed and placed within me, that I've been given the divine nature, and I'm able to partake of all the promises of God. It's nice to know all those things. The question is, is my life partaking of the blessing? Is my life partaking of the promises? Is my life partaking of the full redemption that Jesus Christ has secured? Is my life growing to a place of full spiritual maturity in Jesus Christ? Is my life growing in the love of God? Are our lives vitally, experientially experiencing what Jesus Christ secured for us legally? And we can talk about the legal side all we want, in other words, what Jesus has done, but how's it working out in you? And what he's trying to show us here through this prophet, that it's all been done. And he wants us to be able to receive the word of God that he has said and receive it by faith and to live by faith and to walk in that measure of power and authority that Jesus Christ is and has for our lives. We're not worms, folks. But we are those who are supposed to be what? Casting out devils, not letting devils harass or oppress us. And there's too many people putting up with the oppression of the devil. And the word of God just simply tells us, number one, in Acts 10:36, it says Jesus is what? Lord over what? All. All. But then in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing what? All who are what? Oppressed by the devil. Why? God was with him. Oh, wait a second. Let me ask you a question. You ready for a question? Let's see, we're in October, November, December. December, we have certain scriptures that we like to go through around Christmas time, don't we? One passage, it says, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 1, it says, you shall call his name Emmanuel. Why? So that the scripture might be fulfilled. God with you. Paul said there was a revelation that was hidden from the ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When was the last time you took stock and just sat back? Jesus lives in me by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says in the last couple of verses of Ephesians 2, I'm a habitation of God in the Spirit. The Word of God tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm a temple of God, or I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's very life indwells me. The last verse of 1 Corinthians 2 says, I have the mind of Christ. You see, when you stop and start meditating on these truths and you start taking ownership for them, and then faith begins to arise with inside your heart so that with God nothing will be impossible. Because God is with you, therefore with God nothing shall be impossible. And he can lead and guide you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So that you can be a true King Jehoshaphat within your own life, being able to see, being able to discern, being able to govern, to make right choice and right decisions over your life. Because the Word of God, even when you're introduced into other people's lives. See, we are told, how many of you have ever been told the scripture in Matthew 7:7? Judge not, lest you be judged. I mean, I've had so many people over the years just throw that right back in my face. I go to talk to somebody about some kind of spiritual correction. They go, pfft, pfft. It's like pie in the face, Matthew 7:7. You know, they'll, pfft, pfft, and they just try to just. In other words, I remember this one person that I was talking to, and the individual says, judge not, lest you be judged. I could even hear this, how he even said it. He goes, have you removed the splinter out of your eye before you try to take the beam out of my eye? And I said, yes, I have. I said, yes, I have. That's why I believe that I'm clear in the matter and I have a good heart about this and that you do need some ministry. Well, I'm not receiving it because I'm going to go make some bread with my friend. And I said, what do you mean you're going to go make bread? We're going to go sow some leaven. I was just like, whoa. This guy was living with us, living with my wife and I. They were going to go to Jamaica and be missionaries. I mean, not Jamaica. They were going to go to Guatemala and be missionaries. And they were living with us, and we were helping them out. But I was seeing something of his character that just wasn't right. They'd already made a mission trip down there. They'd already been on the radio. They had things set up. And I'm just like, I'm not even a pastor. I'm just a regular old Joe here at the church. And I'm just like, honey, there's something wrong here. Especially when he said, I'm going to go make bread. I'm going to go sow some leaven. I'm like, oh my gosh, that kind of word shouldn't be coming out of Christian's mouth. Right? And so I had Christine go talk to the wife, and she just kind of lifted up her blouse, and in the place where you couldn't see, just black and blue. He beat her. And when he found out about it, they booked out of our house so fast and went and got a hotel room. And Elnora's daughter, Elena, and my wife, Christine, Elena and her husband were pastors of the church at that time. And Christine, they found out what hotel, and they're hiding behind a dumpster, watching the hotel room. And as soon as the guy leaves, they go in there and save the girl and bring her out. And basically, we put her in hiding because we did not think it would be right for... I don't believe, you listen to me carefully, I do not believe that any woman should be a punching bag for anybody. And so they went in and secured her release and put her in a safe place so that they could end up trying to fix what was going on in their life. It didn't get fixed. This guy just kept getting worse and worse. And yes, did we bring her to a safe place? Yes. Did we protect her? Yes, as we would do with anybody. No woman should be the subject of verbal or physical abuse. It should not be in your lives. And if a person calls himself a man of God or knows the Lord Jesus Christ, then that person needs to be corrected. Okay? And that guy threatened me. He threatened me to no end. They even did some picketing here at the church for a while. Got some other people. And you talk about your faith being tested during those times. Your faith really got tested. Because I remember one time when they were picketing in front of the other church, you know, this church, they were saying this church believes in divorce because we saved her from being beaten. And they had their little signs up there. And I remember going out there and I'm looking, accidentally kicking down their signs. And the Lord just like convicted me, like, you got a wrong spirit there. That's not right. And okay, Lord. It was really a time of growth with inside this church body. Because we weren't going to allow any picketing from the enemy to keep us from protecting a woman that was being abused. And we'll do it again today if we need to. No woman should ever come under an abusive hand of anybody. Amen? And so we see here that at times we have to make choice and we have to make decisions. And we want to make righteous choices and righteous decisions. Jehoshaphat went ahead and was in a place of fear, but because they decided to seek the Lord, and because they decided to call out on him, that God brought forth this prophet. And this prophet spoke a word. And this word was just that the Lord would do the fighting for you. And you're going to go down tomorrow and you're going to do this. And you're going to go into this battle. In verse 17 it says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem. Now listen here. He addresses what the king started out with in verse 3 about his fear. And this is what he addresses it right now. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. There are times in your life you're going to have to make some stands of faith. God's going to reveal his word to you. You're going to have an understanding of it, and you're just going to meditate on it. You're going to bask yourself in it, and it's going to become real to you, and he wants you to walk in the reality of that truth far greater than what you're seeing or feeling. And you're going to have to know that the Lord, you have to know that, number one, it's a word from the Lord. You have to know that you can rest in that word from the Lord, that there should be a place of no agitation within inside you. Being dismayed talks about agitation. A place where fear has been replaced by faith. And there you're able to walk forward. You're to walk on in that truth of God's word and not be moved to the left and not be moved to the right. You know that God is going to perform his word. God will perform his word. And it was just a simple song that they had. He set up some singers to go before them. And it talks down here in verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. Now, can you imagine this? It says, how many of you know how big a multitude is? A group of people that is too large to count. So you got basically three different nations, three different people groups coming in. They're surrounding you. And you're going to send out some people. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, yeah, right, Darlene? Like, oh, yeah, right. You know? But because they knew there was something that had lodged, because the prophet spoke with the voice of God and with the Spirit of God, it lodged with inside them that God is on their side and God was going to do this. There's something wonderful that happens when Paul talks about the spirit of faith. He says, I believe and therefore I speak. But when the spirit of faith begins moving among a people, then he goes on to say, we believe and therefore we speak. And so this prophet's faith influenced the people's faith that influenced the king's faith. And they just say, he talked among the people. Okay, let's get people out there. And we're just going to go out there. And if you look up the word praise the Lord, it's hallelujah. Hallelujah, for his mercy endures forever. When was the last time you sang a two-line song? And it says that the Lord set ambushments out. That for some reason he caused, can you imagine that God caused their voice to just magnify? It sounds like that they were surrounded. And they went in and they killed themselves. They killed themselves. Isn't that amazing? Where is this coming from? Can you imagine such a confusion? And as they, okay, it says around here, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing, And to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Wow. It says that no one escaped, the last part of verse 24, no one escaped. And it says they had spoils there from among the people. Now, that might not be a very nice sight to you, but they actually went and took all the rings and stuff off the people that were there. But listen, I want you to hear how great the spoil was. It took 3 days to gather it. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of jewelry. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of supplies. That's a lot of stuff. When it takes 3 days to gather it. And they returned, verse 27, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with what? With joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard, what did they hear? That the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. There's a truth that God's trying to communicate to all of us. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But there's a truth that God wants to deliver to each and every heart and each and every life. That no matter where you're at, even if you're in a place of fear, I was so encouraged that he was in a place of fear, but he sought the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast. And at times, we do need to fast. At times, we do need to put our body under. At times, fasting cleanses us. Fasting puts the body in subjection. Whether it be a fasting of certain foods or a fasting of media, whatever the fast is that God would have, is the heart first and foremost seeking him? Is the heart looking to him? This is huge, Lord God, and I don't quite know how to deal with this, and I don't understand what's going on here, and it's actually making me a little bit afraid, but my eyes, my focus is on you. I'm going to put my body under because I'm not going to let my mind, my body tell me or dictate to me the direction that I should go. You are going to get a word to me. You are going to get a word to me. You're going to give me guidance. You're going to give me direction as to how I'm to face this. And God will reveal a truth to you. He will reveal a guidance to you. He will reveal a direction that you're supposed to have. He will do it so that you could be a proper king Jehoshaphat, so that you're able to look at it from a place of faith after you've heard the word of God, that you're able to get his mind on it, get his counsel on it, get his government over it, find out what his word has to say so that you can spiritually discern what choice that you're supposed to make, and you're going to follow that choice and obey God and see the results of God. You see, we're all Jehoshaphats. Because God wants us to judge righteously. I think even Jesus said in John chapter 7 that he talks about that we need to learn how to make righteous judgments. And if I'm not mistaken, it's either 1 Corinthians 6 or 1 Corinthians 3. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians 6. It even says that we're going to judge angels. You're talking about, why do we need to judge angels? I don't really know why we're supposed to do it, but Paul said we're going to do it. And so he said, he goes, if you realize what's coming in the future, what God has stored for us in the future and what we're going to partake of in the future, you can't settle matters among you. And you take people to court and they mock the name of God because you can't settle matters here. And we're going to be in such a spiritual position in the future. King, we're going to reign with Jesus. And it says even judge angels. And we can't even discern to make a right choice or decision for our life. And that's what he's trying to get us to, that we have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to hear from. We have his word. We have everything given to us that we need. Matter of fact, how many of you know that when we take communion, we're supposed to be making righteous judgments? I'm just going to read this to you concerning communion. It's called the... I'm not going to go ahead and read the whole thing here. Let me just start with verse 25. Okay, let me start with verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. It says, for often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, that's what it says. When we take communion, there's a proclamation that we are saying what Jesus Christ has done. There's a proclamation when we take this, cracker here that represents his what? His body. And this juice that represents what? His blood. Jesus was broken so that we could become well. Jesus was separated. He had took the sin of the world upon himself so we could be united back with God. And it's the blood that made it possible, that cleansed us of our sins. He took it upon himself and the blood cleansed us and washed them all away so that we could come back to God once again as God's children. It says we proclaim his death till he comes. We say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. You took the sin of the world upon yourself and you washed us from it so that we can become dripping children of God. I get excited. Blood-drenched, soaked people. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Made one with God. As Jesus is one with the Father, so we can all become one with the Father in the same manner. It says, we proclaim his death till he comes. We proclaim what has Jesus' death and his blood done within your life? How has it changed you and transformed you? What is it doing with inside your life right now? Does your life proclaim his death till he comes? This is what Jesus is doing. This is what God has done within my life. This is where what he's been teaching me. This is what he's showing me. And as you see your life changing more and more, or do we end up being like Jehoshaphat there, and as we've changed so much, we kind of get slack, kind of forget some things. And then it goes on here to say, verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy and improper manner will be guilty of the body and blood. It's basically saying there that there's a way that a person can drink it in an unworthy outside of what Jesus, the praise that Jesus deserves, and that the person is guilty, it speaks here, as if crucified Jesus. The same guilt that those who had who killed Jesus and a person that takes it the wrong way is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's why it says, let a person examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy and ungodly manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not just Jesus. See, Paul was dealing with the situation here that they, at times, they really enjoyed taking communion, and they had some wine, and they had some bread, and they were enjoying a little bit of the wine too much. Okay? And he had to deal with something, that this is not what we're coming forth here to drink too much wine, that it's causing us to act improperly. You're not discerning the Lord's body properly. You're not discerning one another. He says, if you want to do that, you do it at home. You don't come in here and do it. You're to show the reverence and respect and give God the glory that is due what Jesus Christ has done, and you're to look out for one another. You're to look out. At times, you see a brother or sister not take it. I wonder what's going on with that brother or sister, why they're not wanting to take it. I wonder why they let the cup pass today. And if the Lord puts it upon your heart, you go and say, can I pray with you? To find out why. Or is it a person just, you know, just taking it nonchalantly, like, whoa, that should just cause a trembling to go through us. Because it says they're not discerning what Jesus Christ has done or the importance of what Jesus Christ has done. Or is there something going on with inside the life that they're not paying attention to it as they should? See, we take it here every week and we have to be careful. We have to watch ourselves. We have to make sure when I did two services, at 8:30 and the 10 a.m. service, I took it twice on Sunday for years. I had to really govern myself to make sure that I was always taking it properly. I was always taking it to the glory of God, that I was always with a thankful and grateful heart, but also making sure that my brothers and sisters who helped me out in this ministry and who came to both services, that they themselves did not get slack in what they were doing also, because it can happen very easy. But look what it goes on here. Let's just go down here, and I'm going to finish up with this. It says, for this reason, many are weak, feeble, sick. And they said, because people did not discern right or take the cup of the Lord properly, that they actually died. I mean, that's pretty important here, wouldn't you say? That it just got to be common. Okay, what are they going to say this week? Wonder what message they're going to give this week.
Why don't we just hurry up and get this done? If that's the attitude, then don't take it. Don't take it. But if there's something going on with inside the heart as to, well, let's just hurry up and get this over with, then say, whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on with inside me for me to get to a place that I don't honor and respect this as I should? Lord, help me. Help bring it back to a place of prominence with inside my life. Am I just going through the motions? Have I just got to a place of like a Jehoshaphat that I'm just so blessed, I just know everything that's so well, and I'm forgetting the whole purpose why we're even here gathering under the banner in the name of Jesus and why his blood was shed and what the cross of Jesus Christ has done? Hey, have I got to a place that you're becoming second instead of first place? And at times we have to do that. Or at times circumstances or situations are going on in our life that we're just not paying attention to it like we should. We've had a rough week, or difficult things are happening, or you're feeling worthless, or you're feeling useless. There's just something going on with inside you, and you're really not even thinking what the person's saying. You're just going through the motions. Stop! Catch yourself. Because I want to tell you that the bread and the blood, there's a wonderful message that speaks of there's healing in communion. There's restoration in communion. There's blessing in communion. And no matter how what it is that you're facing or going through, what you're feeling at that precious moment, and that is a precious moment, at that precious moment, you just stop and take stock. Wait a second, my focus, my thoughts are to be on Jesus right now. Yeah, I've had a difficult week. Yeah, things aren't going the way that they should be going within my life. But there's a moment here. God's given me something physical to enter into something spiritual. God has given me something that my body can partake of, that my senses, my mind, my thinking, my body, my spirit can partake of, and I can make a spiritual connection right now with Jesus in this bread, knowing that he was broken, that my life can begin to experience more of his wholeness, of his completeness. And that whatever problem or situation that I'm going through, that there was a blood that was spilled on that cross 2,000 years ago that took care of it. And by faith, I can take that blood that has washed away every sin and some of that garbage and stuff that I'm going through right now. And by faith, you're going to deal with this also, Jesus. And I take in all of you. That's judging the Lord's body. That's entering into something that can become so customary to us. Because it says right here, it says, for this reason, people are in a place of weakness and sickness and even have died because they have it's become so common. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we would discern, this is the same word in verse 29. It says, when it says not discerning the Lord's body, this word here in verse 31, there's two different Greek words used here. There's one that's it's discerning and the one that talks about judgment. If we would discern ourselves, our present condition, we would not be judged or sentenced as guilty. So it says that we have the ability to Jehoshaphat ourselves, to bring the Lord in at that present moment and acknowledge that God is here, to acknowledge that his presence is here. And Lord God, let me discern properly at this very moment. You've given me two physical elements for me to partake of every week here in this assembly. And let me discern you even right now, Lord God. Let me look to you right now. Let me make let me acknowledge your offering on my behalf. Let this be, Lord God, that which was broken so that I could become in a place of closer contact and union and fellowship with you, Lord God. If there's something that I need to apply to my life, if there's something I need to confess, if there's something I need to release, if there's a hurt that has come in that I need to let go and realize, Lord Jesus, you bore it. If there's things that came out of my mouth, Lord God, as people said, if you are the Christ, then save yourself and come down. If things came out of my mouth this week, Lord God, that wasn't pleasing to you. Or if things that came out of other people's mouth, Lord God, that tried to hurt me or damage me, I look to the cross right now. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I release it to you, Jesus. See, he wants us to be able to discern our life and discern him.
And so that because we are not like the people of this world, the sentence of judgment has been eradicated from our life. He was condemned for us so that we don't have to experience condemnation. But when we are judged, and this is actually the word kareno, or talks about sentencing. It talks about to sentence, to condemn as guilty. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, and we that we may not be condemned with the world. See, God wants to get us to a place in this very, just a very simple act of communion every week, and to bring in the power of His life in that communion. To bring, it's, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 10, it calls it a cup of blessing. That's what it's supposed to be every week, a blessing. And we're to bring the blessedness of His blessing right here, right now, in our lives. You are to discern that the Lord is present. When you lift that up, expect His presence. He's here. He's here. You remember what He has done. And you invite that presence right then and there. See, Jehoshaphat, it also means that it says God is judge, but also judge that He is present. Also discern that He is present. Also know that He is here to help. Also know that He has already fought the battle. He has already won the war. He has already secured your release. No matter what it is that your life may be going through at that moment, it has been completed and done in Jesus Christ. The legal part of it has been done, and He wants to bring in a reality every week, more and more of a reality of the substance, and make it truth to you. So that when we walk out of here today, and when you walk out, hallelujah, for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon my life always. And I walk by faith and I don't walk by sight. Even though there's circumstances that are trying to yell 100, maybe 1,000 things around me, those are the multitude that surround me. And everything is trying to get me to go here, get me to go there. My eyes are fixed and focused on my precious Lord Jesus and on the truth of His word and upon His promises that are yes and amen with inside my life. And just because a report says this or a person says this, I know that Jesus Christ has secured my entire release. He has secured my entire freedom. He has secured a life that I'm to have that's one with Him. Thus shall I judge, and thus shall I live, to the glory of God in Jesus' name. Be a true Jehoshaphat today. Know that God, yes, we know that Jesus Christ is coming, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and He is the judge of the living and the dead. But when that day comes, I've already dealt with everything. It's just going to be hallelujah. And that's the way it should be in all of our lives. See, the speech of our mouth is really the reality of our heart. And so what comes out of our mouth is really where we're at. So if there's any mouths that need to be changed, just go ahead and change it right now. Repent. Reconcile. Be restored. Be refilled. Stand up for a moment here. There is a truth that needs to lodge down deep with inside your heart, with inside your spirit. And it was that truth that Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And he says that the Lord is going to give you success, or He's going to prosper you. The Lord is going to cause that which needs to be broken to be broken through. And how many of you know that at times you need to have a breakthrough inside your heart before you see the breakthrough with inside your life? In other words, it's got to become real with inside you first, real before the Lord, and then you will see the result of it with inside your life. If you're waiting for the circumstances to change, for your heart to change, it doesn't work that way. You grab a truth from God and be changed on the inside, and you see everything through that truth. What you're believing, that circumstance will have to line up with the truth. You see that? That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what faith says. Like I said, Abraham called himself a father of nations before he ever had a child. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But he believed it. Do you believe it?